If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to the program. I'm Sam Thurmond, your host. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Cliff, Ethel, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good.
Awesome, thank you.
It's another Tuesday evening here at AJC Radio. We got a fantastic show lined up. We got Diane Diamond, and I'm sure you guys know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know who that is, Ethel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So we got Diane coming on in about the starting around the second half hour. And then also for our exoneree moment, we got Johnny Savory, and he has an interesting story.
Yeah.
We're going to have him introduce his story tonight, and then we're going to have him back Thursday night. Then we're going to have Jay Arrington from the Maryland Daily Examiner on as well here shortly. Got to always do our disclaimer. Cliff and I and Ethel are not attorneys, and a Just Cause Coast to Coast is not a program that provides legal advice. The opinions expressed during this program by the guests don't necessarily reflect that of ConservativeNationMedia.com, and so we ask that you please contact your legal professional for specific legal needs. And again, thank you for joining the program. Also, later in the program this evening, we're going to have Stephen joining us, right? Is that right? Michael Smith. I'm sorry. Michael Smith
okay.
is going to be joining, the CEO of Conservative Nation Media. So I got my tongue tied on that one. So, Michael, we'll have you calling in here shortly. So what's in the news, Cliff? I know Jay Arrington, he just published a open letter to Attorney General Eric Holder. Did
yes.
you get a chance to read
yes,
that?
Yes, I saw that.
That's
and,
a good one.
You know, I went into it. You know, just saying, hey, okay, let's see. I didn't let anybody give me their opinion about it. Didn't let anybody really give me a, you know, a preamble about, well, this is what he's writing about. I'm like, no, let me see it. And I was thoroughly pleased at exactly what he had written, the way that he had written it, just basically saying, hey, you know, Eric Holder, it's time to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And writing it from such a personal standpoint, saying I'm an American citizen. This is what I've seen you doing. This is what I'm looking for from mm-hmm. you as my attorney general, mm-hmm. as the person who is representing me. This is what I want. And I thought it was fantastic. I really, really did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're going to have Jay on here in just a moment to talk about that. So listeners, if you'd like to dial into the program, please dial in to 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And if you'd like to follow us as we talk about some of the information related to the IRP6, you can follow us on a-justcause.com. Again, that's a-justcause.com. Also, a lot of the information about the IRP6 can be found at www.freetheirp6, the number 6, .org. Again, freetheirp6.org. Ethel, we have a phone campaign going on as well, trying to reach out to Attorney General Eric Holder. So what's that number, and tell us just a little bit about that.
Absolutely. On a daily basis, there's about 30 of us that are trying to reach out to Attorney General Eric Holder's office. We are constantly called in, we're faxing, we're writing letters and everything. We haven't really gotten anything from his office at this point, but, hey, we keep right on knocking. So that number for the listeners out there, please pick up your phone. If you can't do anything else, pick up your phone. Call Attorney General Eric Holder's office at area code 202-514-2003 or 2005 and ask him to take a look at the IRP6 case with the missing transcript. We would appreciate you doing that.
And, you know, again, just to kind of reiterate that, right now the case is under appeal, and there are 200 pages of a transcript that's missing. Part of that appeal is about a sidebar that occurred between the IRP6 and federal judge Christine Arguello,
right,
where she compelled the guys to take the stand, violating their Fifth Amendment right.
Yep.
And then she admonished them also for not having witnesses ready when the prosecution ended their case early.
She sure
so,
did.
You know, that's
and
one of those...
she also pulled their expert witness off the stand. Mm. It's like, well, you don't have any witnesses ready. Well, what about my expert witness? How about let him testify?
Okay.
Let's throw that in there.
There
yeah.
you go.
Judge Arguello.
There
yeah.
you go. And you know, and then, you know, apparently, mm-hmm. you know, folks in the media like to use the word allegedly. She, you know, wanted to protect herself. And so you end up having 200 pages of transcript. And how do we know it's 200 pages? She said so.
She said
at 200
it.
Or more, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, 200
her
or more.
And the court reporter are having a back and forth conversation in court. Now, this is in the transcripts where they're talking about, well, court reporter Darlene Martinez, how many of those pages are you saying that you're not providing illegally?
Okay.
Oh, over 200, Judge. Okay.
Over 200 pages.
Well, illegally, I'm going to tell the defendants that
yeah.
they can't get their hands on that because illegally, mm-hmm. I don't see a reason that they need to have those 200 pages of transcript. That is
yeah.
not your place to say whether a defendant has the right to their transcript. Without
yeah.
your entire transcript, you do not have a proper way to defend yourself
exactly.
during appeal.
But if you're a crook, you can do that.
Yeah,
see?
Well,
yeah.
if you're
yeah.
a crook.
Okay, then.
And then she said that she was not going to expedite that request. And
right,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's all right there in writing. And, you know, we our attorney for Just Cause is helping in the lawsuit there. We're not going to get into details on that right now. We'll have some more news about that
right.
coming up real soon. But, you know, Mark Garagos, Tina Glandian, and then Cornell Johnson out of Denver.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that Mark and Tina, they're out of L.A.
Right.
So, you know, they're fighting this thing. And then attorney Gwendolyn Solomon is fighting the she's doing the appeal on behalf
right,
of the
right.
IRP 6.
Right.
So let's jump to Jay on the phone and talk about this open letter to Attorney General Eric Holder. Jay, are you there, sir?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Good, Jay. Good evening to you. How you doing? Welcome to A Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, guys, and I feel fantastic.
Awesome.
Hey, Jay, awesome piece that you just wrote
yeah.
for the Maryland Daily Examiner, and we've been pushing it out there with our volunteers and tweeting about it and posting it on our websites and links and everything. You know, tell us about that open letter, and we got about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes where we can jump on that a little bit.
Okay, well, basically, I woke up yesterday morning about 6 o'clock. I'm lying in bed, and I'm thinking about what I can write, you know, to continue the series. And it just came to me, you know, write an open letter to Attorney General Holder and just let him know exactly how you feel, and hopefully I could channel some of what everyone else is feeling that's involved with the case. And basically it's just breaking it down. First of all, if you notice, I offended him when I said, what up?
Yeah, you did.
You took it back
yeah,
to the street.
You know, yeah, but sometimes, you know, you have, that's the only way you can get someone's attention.
That's
you
right.
Know, it wasn't a slight. It's just how I felt, you know. We know that.
If
talk,
you need help with that, Jay, you let me know.
Yeah, okay, I will. I bet you can throw down, too.
Oh,
but anyway,
yeah.
But anyway, like I said, it just came to my heart that we needed to put, as Homeland Security told the executives IRP, to put a federal face on it. I thought it was time for us to put a human face on what we were trying to do.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of times it gets lost, not only in the people that we're trying to help, but it gets lost of the humanity of the people who are suffering because of the collateral damage, and the people who are suffering and the struggle to get this thing righted. So, you know, you have to go there sometimes. You've got to play the dozen sometimes in order to get someone's attention. You have to speak a language that is more basic, but it also tells the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
it tells the truth, because you don't want to tell a story just for the sake of telling a story.
Right.
You know, there's an adage, a line that says, a wise man speaks when he has something to say, and a fool
right.
speaks just to say something. And I
yeah.
thought we have something to say. And we are the only voices for these gentlemen right now, you know. And I thought, you know, well, let's recall for the Attorney General some of his own words about fairness and being consistent to the Justice Department's commitment to be fair with everyone that they deal with, you know?
Right.
And if it starts at the top and it's not trickling down, then there's something obstructing that trickle-down effect.
That's right.
There's something obstructing that trickle-down effect. And in essence, what's happening, what has happened here, we have rogue prosecutors and judges who are off the reservation doing whatever they want to do.
That's right.
And nobody is reining these people in.
And, you know, Jay, on that point, you have, and we keep referring back to one of the recent speeches that Attorney General Eric Holder made in August before the American Bar Association, when he talked about those kind of things. And he talked about, you know, mass incarceration. And he talked about, you know, far too many people being in prison for no good law enforcement reason. So he talked about those kind of things. And Cliff and I, we were on a conference call earlier today speaking with the general. And you know, and Cliff brought up the fact that, you know, the Attorney General has a lot of rhetoric. And, you know, and every now and then you'll see something to come out of the Department of Justice and out of the AG's office that looks like they're making a step toward rectifying some of this. But then at the same time, you know, it's like they continue to just continue to do what they're doing. And, you know, I think that's why the, you know, some of the congressmen are going after him right now. And like we said a couple of weeks ago, hey, you know, Mr. Holder, this is your opportunity to get some good press. You know,
that's
you need
right.
to look at cases like the IRP6 and do what's right by these gentlemen. Hey, Jay, hold on 1 second. And Cliff, go for that.
Yeah, it's time for the Attorney General. You know, you got to do something. But anyway, ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with the Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes.
This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial justice, judicial injustice, I should say. So on the phones, we have Jay Arrington from the Maryland Daily Examiner. Callers, if you'd like to call in, we have 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Jay, I got to tell you that the IRP6, man, they really, really love your writing style. And, I, you know, I sent you a couple of notes from the guys, and they just like the way you break it down. And you, you know, it's obvious that you're pushing for them, that you have a heart for them. And then at the same time, obviously, you know, this rolls into other folks as far as, you know, wrongful convictions, wrongful incarceration. Mm-hmm. And so, Jay, you know, we just got to pass that on to you. So what's next for Jay Arrington and in the IRP6 series? And for the Maryland Daily Exam?
Well, the IRP6 series is going to, as they say in the criminal justice system, that I'll go where the evidence leads me. You know, I'm going to stay on top of it. I'm going to continue to write about it and write it in a nuanced way so that the facets of the diamond that are hidden will be shown. And because there are a lot of things still yet to be told here, this story is far from being told. It's far from being over. The narrative continues daily. I've gotten so many responses from people, as you said, about the story, and it just reeks of prosecutorial misconduct. Everybody who reads it says, you know, when you read it, you can. Why doesn't anybody else see this that matters? You know,
right.
why don't the people who are supposed to be looking at this, why can they not see this for what it is? But anyway, the Maryland Daily Examiner is in our infancy stages. We're trying to grow, and you know, we're planting seeds wherever we can plant seeds, because every road we travel down, we never know when we might travel down that road again and happen to be hungry. So we're going to plant seeds everywhere we go. Anything that we can do to assist anybody in anything they need in social justice matters, we're going to continue to do that and pray that God takes us where he wants us to go.
That's awesome, right. Jay. Hey, Jay, you're gonna hang out with us all night, I think. And so, you know, we'll have you to jump in there and contribute to the conversation. When we come back from this break, we have Johnny Savory, our exoneree moment. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Stay right there.
Listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. So let's talk a little bit more about the IRP6 right now. And Cliff, let's bring people up to speed on that. We're going to bring Johnny on a little bit later in the program. So let's go on and talk about the IRP6 case and, you know, what's going on there. I know the guys are really excited about some of the things that's going on. We just put out a press release last week where David Banks made a lot of contributions to that with regard to the cost of incarceration and, you know, how it just doesn't make sense to have folks who are nonviolent, did not have a criminal record, and then, you know, they were basically remanded immediately into custody under the auspice that they were at flight risk, but then you're sent to a prison camp where there are no fences.
Right, which is, you know, just everything. As we continue to look into this case, so many things that we see just show how ridiculous, from the acts of the prosecutor, you know, two grand juries. How is that not double jeopardy? First grand jury doesn't find you, doesn't find reason for indictment. You call up a second one. How does that even make any sense? And then before your grand jury even convenes, you have the FBI did its investigation and found and told one of the staffing companies, hey, this is a civil matter. This is not something that the FBI would get into. And Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch still went after the IRP6. And like you said, even getting all the way to this point where you say I'm a flight risk, but then you put me somewhere where I can pretty much walk off and go home if I wanted to. But it just shows how, you know, I don't want to actually use the word insane, but I'll just say stupid. Sometimes the justice system is. It totally gets to the point where this makes no sense. And then you have a judge like Judge Christine Arguello who wants to hold her ground on, you know, when we talked to our attorney friend on the East Coast, and he said the reason part of the reason that we can't find someone that'll say, sure, I'll take jurisdiction over this missing transcript stuff, is because this type of thing doesn't happen. If a judge withholds a transcript, that case is thrown out.
That's right.
The bottom line.
That's
there
right.
is no, well, there could be a reason that I'm withholding your transcript. There could be a reason that it's not available. That is against the Constitution. It does not hold water. It does not stand up to anything legal, and the case is thrown out. So you have all these things that go on and on and on. And as you say, you know, David Banks went into, you know, the price of incarceration for just stupid reasons.
Yeah, and you know, Cliff, if folks go out and do a search on IRP6, they can go to prweb.com. They can even go to our website, www.a-justcause.com, mm-hmm. a-justcause.com, and pull up these press releases. You know, on this thing about the cost of incarceration, it costs approximately $30,000 per year to the taxpayer to incarcerate someone, at least at the prison camp situation.
Right.
If that same person were on home confinement mm-hmm. and under the care, and I use the care loosely, under the care of a probation officer, you're looking at somewhere between $3,500 per year per offender. And, you know, that's some information that was put out by the Urban Institute, their Justice Policy Center. And that, you know, and they broke this thing down, and David even broke it down even further as to how it related to the camp there at Florence.
Yeah.
And, you know, they basically have about 550 inmates there at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's costing the taxpayers about $16.5 million.
Wow.
And that's just the incarceration part. Don't even get into the thing about as far as salaries of the administration staff and so forth.
Right.
When you throw that in, you're looking at about $18 million per year.
Wow.
But then they're always, the BOP is always crying about, we need more money.
Yeah.
We need more
yeah.
money. Well, you got a bunch of people here who, number one, especially in the case of the IRP6,
right.
you got a situation where you have people who are wrongly convicted,
right.
wrongly incarcerated. So why are you spending money to incarcerate someone who shouldn't even be there in the first place?
But you know
right,
what?
Exactly.
They hollering this thing about we need more money, we need more money. It's really not we need more money. We need more inmates. We need
right.
more inmates.
We need more
any,
workers.
Any
more
way
employees.
You can get them here.
But it also speaks to, you know, like we were talking today on a conference call that you and I had, Sam, that, you know, Eric Holder's got to step up to the plate and do something. He says words that are cute, fancy. You know, I just call it, you know, just basically trying to appease the conscience of the American people. I don't want to be appeased. I want to see you get up, and I want to see you do something.
That's
you
right.
and your boss, President Obama,
that's right.
make something happen. Don't just get up and say, hey, we know that there are a bunch of people who are wrongly incarcerated. Mm. There's no law enforcement reason for them to be in jail. Well, then, why are they still in prison?
That's
why
right.
are they still in jail? Why haven't you, as the attorney general, the master attorney, Mr. Lawyer for America, why have you not done something?
The
why
high
have you not,
sheriff.
Yeah, the high sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say,
yep. Yep.
I'm going to take my position and do something?
Y'all are borrowing from Jay's article.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
it.
Looking
that's
right
it.
At it right now.
It's the high sheriff.
The high sheriff. Hey, Brick, is Jay still on the line?
Let's
get Jay in on this conversation a little bit. You know, and when you look at this kind of situation as well, they talk about, you know, the deficit and trying to, you know, find some extra money. And, you know, it goes back to this prison industrial complex.
Right.
You know, and the money that is changing hands, man, as far as the industry itself, it's crazy.
Yeah,
and then they're paying the inmates like,
you're talking about like
30 cents an hour or something like that?
Less than that. I mean, if they make, I think Lamont Banks told me that he would be happy to have made like $1 a week. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What?
And that is just, that's crazy. And you know, Jay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, you know, when you look at situations like the Attorney General and you know, and they always are going before Congress, and the BOP is going before Congress and saying, hey, we need more money. You know, and I know that you've done some looking into the prison industrial complex and looking at mass incarceration and all that kind of stuff. And you know, Jay, when we look at this kind of this thing, we're just looking at as a case study, the IRP6 case, And the amount of money at one facility, which is a low security for low risk inmates, and they're spending $18 million, a minimum, let me put it that way, a minimum of $18 million a year to run that place. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what they're spending, but that's not necessarily where the money's going.
Right.
I mean, you know one thing about movies that movies can tell you? Movies are not written because of fantasy. Movies are written based on what people know has happened in the country. All you have to do is go back to the movie The Shawshank Redemption and think about what that warden was doing. That wasn't written. It wasn't made up stuff. That's what these guys do. Most of these jails in this country, they feed the inmates bologna sandwiches and cheese sandwiches and the steaks and the pork chops. They take them home, you know. That money is not necessarily going to the prison. It's going to somebody's pocket.
Yeah.
That's why they're always asking for more. It's not because they're doing anything for the prisoners. They're doing it for themselves, you know. They're doing it for themselves. You did an audit of where that money goes, I guarantee you some of it would come up missing.
And you know, Jay, what's sad about this situation is the fact that the IRP sticks, and this is why you're fighting for it, this is why you're writing about it, this is why a Just Cause is fighting about it, is the fact that you have six gentlemen, Gary Walker, David Banks, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zappolo, and then Kendrick Barnes. You have six men who have been incarcerated now for over 15 months.
Yeah.
They've been away from their families. And the thing with this appeal where, you know, the 10th District Court of Appeals, they have no limit on when they have to make a ruling. And we've calculated, and it's in that press release that went out last week, that in these 15 months, it's cost over $200,000, almost $250,000 just for these six people who, and I reflect back on the fact that when Judge Arguello even made the comment that you should have used your skills and your talents for something more productive than, you know, running a scam or something. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
And she sits there and makes these kind of comments, and these gentlemen are men of integrity. These are Christian men.
That's right.
These are family
That's
men.
Right.
And they were making a contribution to the American public. You have patriots that are sitting there in prison. And, you know, when we bring Diane Diamond on here in a few minutes, you know, she's talking about, you know, Homeland Security and that type of thing. You know, that's exactly who the IRP6 were supporting, and they were making a viable contribution to that. And now you have a country that has, you have 9/11, which spawned off all kinds of things, and you got the virtual case file, which failed.
Yeah.
You got the Sentinel Project, which failed. And then you have the solution, case investigative lifecycle software, the Silk software that IRP was developing, which would have helped this country.
Yeah.
But then you end up getting folks, you know, our friends
are
wrongly convicted, wrongly incarcerated, and they have the answer that can help.
You
right
know,
now.
You really don't have a heart when you have somebody like her that sits there and make a statement such as that when these guys are doing something to help this country, and this country includes you and your family as well, and you sit there with no heart whatsoever and make a statement such as you should have done something better with your lives.
Right, because what they want to do, you know, and I was even thinking about the fact that the appeals process, the appeals court, like here in Colorado at least, that they don't have a time frame. Well, like, we're going to lock you up so that we can make you part of the prison, you know, industry, complex, get free labor from you, and then whether you're innocent or guilty, by the time we let you out, we've gotten all this free labor that it's been worth it for us to do it. I mean, this is totally, totally just insane.
It's insane.
And I have to, you know, it's certain things that we come across and certain things that you read. It just kind of sticks with you. And I think it was last week on Tuesday night where we were reading about the attorney general back in 1940.
Right.
Where Jackson, he made that comment that basically, you know, their job as far as being federal prosecutors is not about, or it's not supposed to be about you know, getting a win in the win column, but it's supposed to be about ensuring that justice is executed. And so, you know, you want to, they need to go back to those days to where they're, you know, doing what's right.
That's right.
Absolutely. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That'll take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join a conservative revolution where America always wins.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. We have on the phones, we had Jay Arrington from the Maryland Daily Examiner. Jay did an open letter to the Attorney General, Eric Holder, requesting the release of the IRP6. And if you go out and do a search on www.a-justcause, you can see Jay's entire series about the IRP6. Now, someone who is making it part of their life's task right now, who is talking about the injustice in the land, is Diane Diamond. Diane, are you there?
I am here. Nice to be had this evening.
Hey, Diane, thank you so much for joining the program. This is exciting to have you on.
You bet. Anytime. You know, you're right. I have dedicated my life to issues of crime and justice and getting people to pay attention to it. It's really sometimes I just want to shake people and say, don't you realize what's happening? Wake up. But in their busy lives, it's sometimes an issue that they just don't think about.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is a very, very, serious point that you make there, Diane, because if the typical citizen, if just the layperson does not realize how simple it is for injustice to happen to them, how simple it is for the justice system to come after them, with no good reason, with no evidence. I mean, having not committed any crime, when they say that, you know, the Justice Department can indict a ham sandwich, that sound funny, but that is not a joke. They can throw anything up against the wall for anybody, and they know how to make something stick.
Well, you know, look, I don't think that the bulk of American law enforcement spends their time saying, okay, who can we pick on today?
Right.
But I do think that there is a laissez-faire attitude. I think there is a group of criteria that they have in their head that, well, let's see, if you're a minority and you're poor and you live in this neighborhood and you probably have a couple things on your rap sheet, then you must be guilty of this other thing we're looking for somebody for.
That's,
you know,
right.
And I think the point is, in the year 2013, almost 14, we now know, looking back, that eyewitness misidentification is rampant. You know, eyewitness accounts, you can get three people to say, hey, what did you just see in that bank that was being robbed? And they'll tell you three different things.
That's right.
We know that in kindergarten. You know, I was in kindergarten in the 70s. They taught us that. Hey, spread the sentence around the room. By the time it gets back to you, it goes from clowns have red noses to puppy dogs have shaggy tails.
Exactly, exactly. And we also know about now, and we openly admit that there are prosecutors that overreach and there are public defenders who just don't have the budget to really defend anybody, let alone the expertise. We know that they use bad jailhouse informants sometimes. We know that there are false confessions, that people will sit in a room, and after a while, hours of police badgering, they'll admit to stuff they haven't had nothing to do with.
Right.
And it
and, you
will
know,
that, always come back to haunt them. So, you know, I think we have this knowledge, but it hasn't translated completely into the justice system.
You know, Diane, one of the things that scares me a little bit is the fact that, okay, Congress is having to acknowledge the fact that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're aware that, you know, they have the task force on overcriminalization and they're looking into that. And but the thing is, you know, when you actually inquire about it, it seems as though they are just kind of scratching the surface. And when you look to folks to do the deep dive on some of this stuff, it's not until you have just gross injustices that occur and you end up finding out that, you know, someone spent 25 years in prison. Oh, mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, that was a wrongful conviction.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah,
know,
oopsie daisy, we sort of goofed, and sorry about that last 25 years you had to spend behind bars. Yeah,
correct.
I know exactly what you're saying. And I have three or four responses. Number one, I'm sick and tired of waiting for Washington to do anything because they are completely paralyzed by their partisan politics. And you notice states aren't waiting for the Congress to do anything now. They're passing
right.
laws on their own about you know, compensation for wrongly convicted and immigration reform and voting rights and marijuana legislation. They're just bypassing Congress altogether. But you know, when somebody tells me, well, we've got a task force that's going to study this, I think, oh, boy, there's another,
yeah, another
boondoggle.
Way. Another way to appease the American public. Another way to say, hey, you know, we made a statement. We created a task force. What does that task force do? Well, they actually do absolutely nothing. They sit around. They get a paycheck. I mean, I know during one of our trips to D.C., we had spoken to somebody in one of the congressmen's office, one of their, like, you know, policy directors,
mm-hmm.
or something. And after talking to them for a while, going back and forth, you know, you really just get tired when you start to realize, you know what, this person is just going through the motions and really just
exactly.
blowing me off in a kind, politically correct way. And Sam put it best when, you know, he kind of just leaned over the table and said, you know, I need to get a job in Washington because you guys get paid to do absolutely nothing. You sit
yeah.
here, you basically regurgitate this rhetoric from the, you know, like you say, from your partisan directors.
Mm-hmm.
They just regurgitate it and expect the American people to, you know, to eat it by the spoonful. It's like you look at Attorney General Eric Holder. It is a perfect example of Let's
it is.
Let's get something said because the American people are protesting right now. They're saying, hey, what's going on? You get one man, he's been in jail for 25 years, another 28, another 30, another 35, another 43. And the American people are saying, what is wrong with the justice system and how does it take 43 years to do a test to find out somebody's innocent?
Yeah.
And so he comes out with this conjecture, this little appeasing statement, oh, we know people have been put in prison for no good law enforcement reason, and we're checking into it. Don't tell me a bunch of crap, Mr. Holder. Do something. Do something.
Well, he's probably got some little half time clerk sitting at a desk somewhere looking up, you know, who the Innocent Project has gotten out of prison. You know, that's probably what that entails. Now, I completely agree, and I think, you know, Ethel, I know that you're very interested and active in wrongfully convicted things. We have to not rely on Washington to change things, but we have to go get into the courtroom and change things. You know, I write a syndicated column once a week. You can find it on my website every Monday morning, but it's in newspapers across the country. And one of my recent columns was about a woman named Tyra Patterson. And this gal, she was 19 years old, sentenced to 46 years in prison for murder, when in fact the person who pulled the trigger said, under oath, Tyra didn't have anything to do with this. In fact, she was telling me to leave the victim alone.
Yeah.
But they convicted her in a solo trial. It wasn't a trial with all of the defendants together. And she got 46 years because during the interrogation, she became exhausted. You know, this poverty-stricken, undereducated 19-year-old girl at the time. And she finally admitted, okay, you know what? When I ran away, when the fight started, I did scoop up a necklace off of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the police officer convinced her that if you don't plead guilty right now to burglary, then I'm going to get you for murder. So she said, okay, I ripped it off of the girl's neck, when in fact she hadn't at all.
Wow.
But she just was looking for a way out. So long story short, Tyra Patterson has been in prison for 19 years. She was 19 years old when she went there. Yeah. And the last governor of Ohio, as he left, said, I'm going to commute her sentence to just 16 years. So Tyra Patterson should be out, but she isn't, because the current governor, Kasich, will not rule on her clemency. So there she sits, a wrongfully convicted person. Breaks my heart.
For taking a necklace. This was
ripped off someone's neck and laying on the ground when she spotted it.
Wow. Hey, Diane, hold on 1 second here. We got to pay the bill just for a second.
ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure you check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
So, Diane, we got a hard break coming up here in a couple of minutes, but as far as Tyra's case, what recourse is there right now? I mean, you know, what groups out there that are fighting for this? What's going on with that?
Yeah, there is. There's a great guy. I'm looking up his name right now. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten. But she has gotten an Ohio Justice Center to come to her aid. They have, get this, I'd never heard of this happening before. They gathered up all of the information that her lousy public defender did not present at the time of trial, and they went back to the jurors in her case.
Yeah.
And
wow.
They showed, David Singleton is his name, the attorney, the director of the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, and he found six of the original 12 jurors, and they were flabbergasted when they learned all of the facts.
Wow.
That they had not been presented at trial, and they've now given statements for Tyra to add to her clemency plea, saying, you got to take another look at our verdict. We're not convinced it was right.
And you know, Diane, we Just Cause is fighting for the IRP6, and that's the case, you know, we're fighting about. Mm-hmm. And, boy, can we tell you stories about the jury and that type of thing. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, Folks, we have Diane Diamond on the phones with us this evening, spending the evening with us here at A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. If you'd like to call in to the program, you can call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. When we come back, we'll be joined with more from Diane Diamond. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, being joined by Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. Joining us this evening is Diane Diamond, and we're talking about what we normally talk about here on a Just Cause Radio, education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Diane, you still there with us?
I am here.
Hey, Diane. I think, you know, when we went to break, you were saying how... in the case of Tyra Patterson, that they had reached out to the jury, had gotten in touch with a lot of them. And reading her article, I actually saw that there were jurors that went to see her in prison. And, you know, that really, really touched me and really stood out, because if this juror, this person says, yes, I said you were guilty, I was one of the ones who, from what I knew, you know, at the time, I said, yes, this person is guilty of the crime. For them to come back and not only say, well, when I see the real evidence that your appointed attorney, your negotiator did not present. And when I see that it compels me and it touches me and makes me want you to understand so much how I feel that you were done wrong, that you would go to a prison and visit this person. This is not a family member. This is
no,
not...
the person you've convicted, and right. 19 years later, you
right.
voluntarily put yourself back into the situation and then go and visit her in prison, hours away from your own home. Yeah, that was really something.
You're saying, I need to make this right. I have to. I have to do what I can to let you know that I realize the decision that I made was wrong. I realized that, you know, I basically pulled the hammer or, you know, put down the hammer to say you're guilty. And now I want to make that right. And that's what we have to get these federal prosecutors, these judges, you know, law enforcement, everybody that is involved, you know, they have this granted immunity. But we need them, you know, since they're not going to voluntarily say, yeah, I was wrong, you know, and do like this juror and say, hey, I want to make it right. We, as the American people, as the public, need to pass laws, legislature, go to whoever it is that we need to go to so that these people can be dealt with, the judges and the prosecutors, so that they can get the justice that they deserve. If you put someone in prison knowingly, you withhold some evidence, you get, you know, one of the witnesses to testify, something like that. You need to be put in prison for 19 years. Say you took away this girl's youth, and now it's your turn to spend the time that she spent and understand what she went through.
So, Diane, what brought this case to your attention?
That's a good question. Oh, yes, I remember now. It was a petition that I got a copy of from change.org by one of the former jurors, Nancy Day. And this is the woman, Nancy Day, who is a white woman, older white woman, who just could not live with herself to do nothing after she learned all these facts that had not been presented at trial. Like her best friend who was with her was never called to testify about what really happened. The real shooter had testified in her own case. The Tyra didn't have anything to do with it, but that information never got into Tyra's trial, things like that. So juror Nancy Day put a petition online, and I read it, and I started to investigate it. And I tried to get with Nancy Day, but she is ill, and she's been in the hospital. So even being in not the best health, she drags herself to the prison to go and see Tyra Patterson, who she convicted all those years ago. So I just thought to myself, there's got to be some there with this story. And
right.
I got with her attorney, and David Singleton, and it's just an amazing story of people saying, that was wrong. We have to fix it. And just like you were saying, Cliff, I can't understand how prosecutors who are supposed to be on a quest for the truth and for justice can then deny, for example, a death row inmate wants to have a DNA test done on some new evidence, and they say, no, we're not going
right.
to reopen the case.
That's right.
Really?
That's so insane.
Really? What? We're
what is there to lose?
Yeah.
And, you know, Diane, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, and you know, back in 1940, the Attorney General was Jackson. And, you know, he made a comment that, you know, The job of the U.S. prosecutor, you know, is not to get a win in the win column. But unfortunately, that's what we see a lot of. I mean, Diane, on our program last week, this might blow you away, but right here in Colorado, there is a district attorney that pays his office, the prosecutors, a bonus.
Yeah, quote-unquote bonus.
For getting convictions. It doesn't matter. So there's one you can report.
Really?
Report on there, Diane.
Yes.
Yeah. We could talk about that one a little bit offline.
Exactly.
But
we'll get you the link to that article.
I'd love to see that.
And then even in the IRP case, and I know you haven't had a chance to really get up to speed on that, but when we talk about juries, there was something that really crooked happened there. You got jurors who, after about a day and a half of deliberation in the IRP 6 case, they came back to the judge and said, hey, is there any more evidence? The judge says, no, you have everything you need. When the fact is, there was plenty of evidence to exonerate the IRP 6, but the judge was not allowing the jury to hear it.
I hear that over and over from jurors whenever I cover a trial, and I cover I've been in a lot of courtrooms, believe me. I'm working now for Newsweek and the Daily Beast mostly, and I went to Casey Anthony, I went to the Jerry Sandusky trial, I went to the Senator John Edwards trial, and when I speak to jurors afterward, they say, well, we understand that people don't get our verdict, but we had to go on what was presented in court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, Diane,
we read in the newspaper ahead of time, but what was presented in court. And then the judge sat us down and said, you can only rule under the law on this, 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 and this.
And
given all those restrictions, is our verdict any surprise. And, of course, it's not.
That's true.
And, you know, it's not just about the jury instructions that are given in the jury room.
Yeah.
No. That's another situation that we found. Because a just cause is actually attempted to do post-conviction, post-trial questionnaires and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The jury in this particular case are scared to death.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's as if someone took – well, it's not as if. It actually happened that after the verdict was given, the judge, actually Judge Christine Arguello, she said, you know, jury, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. You know, the general spiel. And then she says, well, you know, I'd love to talk to you a little bit in the jury room afterwards. Mm-hmm. These jurors were told something in that jury room to where they are scared to death.
Well, one of them actually said that they were told that they could not talk to anyone. Of the – yeah,
right.
About this
anybody
case.
Anybody on the defense
Absolutely.
Team, don't talk to them. They were told
– So that's a violation of their civil rights.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then get this. Don't talk to the media.
Yeah.
What is this? And – you know, as a just cause, as we would have people talking to these jurors and mm-hmm. finding out, you know, well, hey, the judge said this, and the judge told the bailiff to tell me that. It's like these things are not supposed to be happening behind closed doors with a judge and a jury. Everybody knows from anybody who has ever dealt with a case, like you said, you've been in courtrooms a lot, that when mm-hmm. the case is over, the verdict comes down. The judge makes their canned statement at the end. Jury, thank you for your time. Thank
right.
you for your service to your country, yada, yada, yada. You're free to speak to anybody.
Yeah.
How do you then go behind closed doors mm-hmm. and say, don't talk to the prosecutor? And Diana, is one thing if they were just saying this, but to then when we talk to one of them, they called the assistant U.S. attorney, Matt Kirsch.
Yeah.
He had an FBI agent reach back out to the jury, this FBI agent says, if you hear back from anybody else that, you know, basically are related to the defense's side,
mm-hmm.
let us know and we'll take care of it. And when an FBI agent says to a typical normal citizen,
exactly.
we'll take care of it, I mean, do you know how many ways that can be misconstrued?
Oh, my God.
Do you know,
yeah.
do you know how many thoughts goes through a person's head? Like, the FBI is going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're going to put you in a fine box?
Does
that mean
yeah.
you're going to wake up
in this era of homeland security and surveillance everywhere? What does that really mean?
What does that mean? Does that mean that there is a drone following me to work and I'm going to have this mysterious car accident
and
on the interstate?
Yeah, you know, and then to know that if the FBI is saying that about the people who are reaching out to them, the juror may be thinking, well, they may do the same thing
exactly.
to me.
Exactly. It's
so,
like,
you
I'm
know,
not going to cross them.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not a lawyer, and I, you know, I'm an investigative journalist, and I'm a syndicated columnist and an author, but I'm not a lawyer. But when I'm hearing what you're saying, if there is proof, if you could get an affidavit from a juror who said, that judge told us we can't talk to the media, we can't talk to the defense team, that should go to the judicial bar immediately, and that judge should be sanctioned or removed
right.
from office.
Absolutely. And what we're finding, and see, Diane, that is so crucial what you say, because
yeah.
– We have reached out to the Office of Professional Responsibility, Office of the Inspector General, and what we're finding is nobody wants to take that on. You know what they tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Go back and take this to the judge that's in question.
Yeah.
She has to make the decision
about herself,
whether she committed judicial misconduct.
Oh, that's ridiculous. This is in the state of Colorado, huh?
Right.
Yeah, this is state of Colorado. This is even when we go
but when we go
to Washington.
It's still federal court, though.
It is.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, you know, there's a set of rules, and then there's a whole another set of
right.
rules,
uh-huh.
which I'm sure you've seen a lot of, Diana. In
mm-hmm.
your, so as far as what this petition for Tyra, and I know Ms. Day is, like you said, she's still trying to hang in there and get this thing rectified. Is that
right.
petition still out there, and are they?
Well, here's what has happened. I haven't been in touch with Mr. Singleton, the attorney, in a couple of days, but he did write to me and say that the clemency board got this package. Hello, the last governor said that she should already be out. Her sentence should have been commuted to just 16 years. Hello, here are 6 statements from the 12 jurors saying, we think we made a mistake. She's already served 19 years, and the clemency board turned her down.
What? Are you
so
kidding?
the next thing really is to go directly to the new governor, Kasich, and plead her case. And so I think that's really why I wrote the column. The column ends with Governor John Kasich of Ohio released Tyra Patterson today. It's
there
only when these politicians and judges and DAs feel some pressure that they act.
Hey, Diane, right. When we come back from this break, let's talk about some of your views as far as the Department of Homeland Security and how you know, you've written about, do you feel secure? This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back with Diane Diamond after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I'm Dylan Garcia. President Obama asked a group of senators today to give him more time for diplomacy with Iran. During a two-hour meeting at the White House, the president asked the lawmakers to ignore an aggressive lobbying campaign by Israel and hold off on new sanctions against Iran that are popular with members of both parties. According to Tennessee Republican Bob Corker, Obama asked for a period of time to negotiate with Iran. Corker hinted that a preliminary deal regarding Iran's nuclear program may be at hand and said that the Senate won't vote on expanding sanctions until after Thanksgiving. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said that Obama wants to keep new sanctions on the table in case Iran walks away from negotiations.
He indicated that new sanctions should not be enacted during the current negotiations, but that they would be most effective as a robust response should Iran not accept the P5+1 proposal.
Negotiators will meet again Wednesday in Geneva to try to hammer out a preliminary deal that would ease some sanctions on Iran in exchange for that country agreeing to certain limitations on its nuclear program. Dylan Garcia, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number 1 on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, being joined by my co-host Cliff Stewart. Ethel Lopez on the phones joining us this evening is Diane Diamond, and we're talking about judicial injustice. And here on a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Diane, thanks for spending the evening with us here on a Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Sure.
Before the break, we were talking about a gross injustice in the case of Tyra Patterson in Ohio. And, Diane just wrote a column about that, I guess, a week or so ago, Diane?
Yeah, that was, yes, a week ago last Saturday, to be exact.
And Diane, you've also written about the Department of Homeland Security and some of the things that are going on there. And just before the break, we were talking about, you know, do you feel secure? So,
well,
you know,
yeah, you know, look, I'm of the age where I remember you could get on an airplane without having to go through a complete body cavity search, you know what I mean? I remember when you can go into a federal building and just say, hi, I'm going to the fifth floor, and not have to show identification and, you know, to have your picture taken. And I just think that since 9/11, of course, we had to be vigilant. But as with so many things that we do here in America, the pendulum swings way so far. And I think the Department of Homeland Security has become, well, as I wrote last week, it's sort of like George Orwell was right in his famous novel, 1984, that it's government surveillance every day, all over the place, when you least expect it, trying to get into our heads to figure out what we're thinking. We've got cameras on phone poles and tops of buildings, and they're looking at your email and looking at your phone records. Yep. And this is not the America that I grew up to think of being the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Right. And, you know, Diane, I like cop shows and all that kind of stuff, and one of my favorite shows is Person of Interest. And,
oh, yeah, I love that. I love that show.
And when you talk about, you know, cameras on lamp poles and you know, cameras in a mailbox, it's like, I'm sure they got them everywhere. And the thing is, it's gotten to the point now, Diane, that cameras are everywhere, and we have become so immune to it that, you know, people are being watched. We are being watched at every turn and don't even realize it. And then, you know, like you said, you know, somewhere in there, our rights have got to be violated. I mean,
our civil rights went out the door, I think, years ago. To stay on this thread, the Department of Homeland Security gives money to locations, and I happened to talk about Seattle, Washington recently, where they got about almost $3 million to put up this mesh network system of cameras in their downtown area. So if you walk by with your cell phone, it locks in on you. And it says, okay, Joe Blow walked by this pole at this time of day. And by the way, as long as we're in his telephone, we're going to grab information showing the last 1,000 locations he was at with this phone.
Is that not person of interest in real life?
No kidding.
Is that like, it just scares me to death. You know, we got facial recognition at the airports. We got fingerprints. We've got things that will read your eye, iris, you know, in your eye. You never know when it's going to stop or where it's going to stop.
And you know, Diane, you see things on television and folks think, oh, this is just science fiction, you know, and I would differ. I mean, you know, I have a military background, and I spent some time working in the defense industry. And I worked on some programs where, you know, there were some things that folks didn't know about. And then you ended up, years later, it would be in the news, and you know, people are like, oh, wow, look at this. This is neat. And yet it's been around for 20 years.
But, you know what, too? It's really way out in the open now, and it distresses me, Sam, that the bulk of Americans are not standing up and going, what are you doing? You know, these suspicionless searches of your car at the – I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, originally. So I know Mexico, the border area. My daughter was born in Phoenix. You know, I lived in California. If you're driving even 150 miles close to the border, they can stop you for no reason – just a suspicionless, warrantless search. Search your car, search you, ask you for papers. What is this, Russia?
Right, exactly. And it's gotten to the point where the so-called justice system and law enforcement, and not all of them, you know, we always say we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but
they are paying
so much on the American people's fear, you know, and yes, we do have to be vigilant because things like 9/11 happened, and it happened on our soil, and nobody wants that to happen here again, and we must fight to ensure that it does not. But we cannot say that now we allow the U.S. Justice Department, the U.S. federal government to play on our fears so much to now they basically have us in the chokehold.
Yeah.
It's like, well, either we'll protect you from yourself or we won't protect you from anybody is basically what they're feeding the American people. It's like if you don't let us into your living room and tell you that, you know, this is the way we're going to protect you and you just deal with it, then we'll just step away. And it's such a tragedy because so many Americans, like you say, have basically just taken a back seat and say, well, you know, I don't want another 9/11 to happen. So,
nobody does, for goodness sake. You know, but we become so complacent and we become, you know, we're a very patriotic country when it comes right down to it. And so when our government says there's a terror threat out there, but don't worry, we're going to protect you. Mm-hmm. Our inclination is to say, great, okay, here's all my tax dollars. Spend billions and trillions and you do that for me. Mm-hmm. And then we sit back and are complacent when suddenly there's a matron at the airport patting down my brassiere and somebody looking at my luggage and somebody stopping me near the border asking me for identification in my own country.
Yeah.
There's got to be, as I say, the pendulum swings so far sometimes that we forget to notice how far it's swinging.
Right.
That distresses me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have to, you know, we have to get that pendulum to swing back and get at least toward the middle. I mean, it's so the pendulum has gone so far that it's not a natural swing anymore. It is... It's not a science fiction movie. It's like, when does the pendulum come back toward the middle?
Yeah. You know, so one of my readers of my website, by the way, it's DianeDiamond.com if anybody's interested, emailed me after I wrote a column about Homeland Security and their overreach. And he said to me, you know, nobody is really looking at the fact that there was this report last year about terrorist attacks. Number one, terrorist attacks are down worldwide, and of the 13,288 people killed by terrorist attacks last year, none of them were in the United States of America.
Wow.
And worldwide, of the 13,288 people killed, only 17 were American citizens who happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time in some country overseas. We're spending trillions of dollars. I'm exaggerating for effect. I don't know exactly how much we're spending, but a whole boatload of billions.
Well, I think you're pretty close, Diane.
for 17 people getting killed overseas, I mean, yes, we want to thwart terrorism overseas because if it flourishes there, it can certainly come back to the United States. So we want to be careful. I understand. But come on already.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, Diane, when we talk about that type of thing, you look at the amount of money that you were talking about, and that's why I say I don't think that's really a stretch. And you know, I have to refer back to the case study that we're working on and the case that we're working on with the IRP6 and how they were working on something that will replace the virtual case file. Mm-hmm. And you got a situation there where $500 million was wasted. And then you have the Sentinel project, where another $800 million is wasted. So you got over $1 billion that's wasted just on one project in this country.
Wasted.
So
guess what? That's our money. That's your money and my money and Ethel's money and Sam's money and Cliff's money. That's our money.
That's
You know, our economy is just in the toilet, so to speak, because we are so badly in debt.
Yep.
It's just a big fat cycle that if we would apply some common sense, that's really why I write this column I write every week. I just want people to look at things outside the box and say, really? Why are we doing it that way? That doesn't make any sense.
And you know, Diane, when we come back from this next break, you know, we're gonna spend more time talking with you, but we have an exoneree moment that's coming up, and we're gonna be talking to a gentleman who spent time in prison. Mm-hmm. He has been released, but he's still trying to fight for exoneration. And so when you talk about DNA and so forth, it's like, what is the big deal about doing a DNA test to clear someone's name, especially when there is evidence to show that that this man didn't do any wrong. So, you know, when we come back, we're going to have you jump in there with us, Diane, and we're going to talk to Johnny Lee Savory. And so, you know, we look forward to that, Cliff.
All right, yeah, because they do those DNA tests on the Maury Povich show and all those things all the time. It can't be that expensive. But anyway, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightfully so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always...
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
left. You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three lights,
happy
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think
drive five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
A Death Call Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. On the phones, we have Diane Diamond joining us for the evening, talking about injustice in America and the Department of Homeland Security and all kinds of stuff. On the phones, we have Johnny Lee Savory, and that's for our exoneree moment. Johnny's going to spend a few minutes with us, and then we're going to have Johnny back on Thursday evening to do a full-blown segment. Johnny, welcome to the call.
Oh, good evening, everyone. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Johnny, you know, we are excited to have you on the program, and you know, we're glad that you're no longer incarcerated. But tell us a little bit about your story. We understand that you're still trying to get a DNA test to clear your name and so forth. So give us a little bit of the highlights of your story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, at age 14, I was in Peoria Junior High, and Peoria Police Department came in to ask me some questions about two friends of mine that had been murdered. And from that moment on, that's where the nightmare began. They asked me to come to the station with them to just talk about maybe something I might have saw, something I might have heard, or anything that I can remember to help them. That turned into 2 days of interrogation, and subsequently just broke my wheel. At that point, I was forced into a coerced confession, sentenced to 50 to 100 years in prison, faced death row at the age of 14.
Wow.
From there, I won the appeal court in 1980, overturned the conviction based on the coerced confession and the fact that no Miranda rights was written. I wasn't a suspect. Went back for a new trial, went all the way to the United States Supreme Court before I went back on February 9th, 1981. With no evidence against me whatsoever, two prosecutors clearly stating in the media, so there's no evidence to tie Johnny Savory to the crime or to the scene of the crime, so I don't know how it would be possible to retry him again. However, they manufactured three witnesses from the same family and all testified that I made admissions to them on the day of the murder, even though they did not exist the first time, under police coercion and perjury, and secured a second conviction at the second time at 18 years old, faced death row, and was convicted again and sentenced to 40 to 80 years. I continue to write. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Johnny. Go ahead. Continue.
I continue to write ever since I was age 15. I wrote some of everyone in the country, especially all our black leaders. You name them, I wrote them, as well as the white jurors. And finally, I wrote to the late Prentice Marshall here in Chicago, who sat on the Seventh Circuit Federal Court. He heard my cries. He appointed his old law firm, Jenner and Block, to represent me. And from now on, the rest can be read on the websites. But I won my release with the help of Steve Drizzen and Northwestern and Rob Warden, 2006, December 19th.
Now, Johnny, I have a question for you.
Yes.
We hear this time and time again, and I know this has to be, you know, it's difficult to, you know, it's difficult to hear. And and when we, you know, experience this kind of thing in our country, it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling. One of my questions is, now there's a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Deskovich in New York. He had a very similar situation where a coerced confession. He was, how old was he, Cliff? 14, 15, something like that?
Yeah, I think he was.
Because we talked about the fact that he wasn't even old enough to buy cigarettes.
Right.
And so, John, Johnny, in your situation, you know, was there anyone in the room with you when you were being questioned? I mean, did you have your parents there? Did they, you said they didn't?
No, they lied to my dad and told him they was going to bring me home. But I will say after that, and I want to give my community much love, the Peoria community, the mothers, the grandmothers, and aunts and big sisters and all those rose to the occasion. And they raised money for me. They fought for me. They became my voice. One of them became my godmother, which is Octavia Burchett and the Vielbergs. People came to assist. They just wasn't used to fighting a system such as this. So it took 30 years of my life, 36 years to this day, but I finally won the right to DNA testing. And at this point, just a few formalities to go through, then we'll have it, and everyone in the world would finally know the truth. It wasn't about my innocence that I wanted to prove. My innocence was clear among even the most prominent jurors in this country. What it was is I wanted to solve the crime. So I took it a little further. It cost me 36 years of my life, but God gave me everything I need not to fold, not to give in, not to give up. And the grace of God is what brought me through, and he put many people in my path to help me get here. So, I mean, that's what that journey was like.
And Johnny, we have on the phones with us Diane Diamond. And, you know, Diane, this is one of the things that you were talking about earlier in the program, in so many words. You know, if you come from a certain community and you are of a particular ethnic background, you know, it's like you get thrown into this category of, well, you must have done something.
Right. When
you hear something like this, Diane, I mean, it has to, and you know, like we said at the top of the show, Diane, I know you made it a life work to right a lot of the wrongs. And when you hear something like this, it has to break your heart.
It does. It just breaks my heart, Johnny, to hear your story. And I have so many questions I'd love to ask you. Like, first of all, have you gotten a DNA test yet?
Yeah, it's around the corner. I mean,
but
I've won the right to it.
After 36 years, you still haven't gotten a DNA test of what? Evidence that was found at the crime scene?
Let me share how it goes. This is how it goes here in this state of Illinois. I won the right to DNA testing for all people here in this state and have set the president around the board. And what has happened was, I'm going to give you one name. His name is Kurt Floyd. He won the free agency for all sports players, but he didn't give it. They didn't give it to him.
Right.
So, and that's what I'm saying here. But unlike Kurt Flood, I have it now. So the testing is going to begin as soon as our forensic people are in place, but it just took 36 years to get it. God, I liken it to like this. God saved the best for last. He used me to free a lot of people. And I no longer ask the question why anymore. I just accept the fact that he chose me, and I'm happy that he chose me and gave me what I needed so I could help others and open the doors for others now. And that's like most, especially with the people here that's on this phone line. You know, our lives are put in place to help other lives who don't have a voice or who have been executed or or just can't even talk about the situation itself. So that's how I really look at it.
When you say that, Johnny, you know, it really, you know, makes me feel honored to be able to talk to you because it speaks to your strength and character of as
absolutely.
A man.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, you say that your fight took 36 years, mm-hmm. but you fought that fight.
And wasn't so, broken.
Right. You weren't broken. You never bowed. You said, and you realized that this fight is not just for Johnny Savory. This is for the next man that comes along.
Yes.
This is for the next man who, when they say you did it and we have DNA, test that DNA and see who really that person is. And you know, it reminds me of what and who a trailblazer is.
Yeah.
You know, the trailblazer is the person that they go through the snow, they go through the forest, mm-hmm. they chop down trees, they move boulders, they smooth everything along, they put road signs up, they make the path so that when the next man comes, you know, they string, they put the string along in the dark mind to say, get a hold of this string, grab this rope, and just as long as you hold on to this rope, you're going to make it to the other side. You'll see light, just keep following the path. And you've done that for, like you say,
for
everybody in Illinois.
It takes to.
And we, man, I commend you because to fight for 36 years, we know you had to get tired.
Yeah.
There had to be times that you say, is this worth it? Should I just go ahead and say forget it? But that's not what warriors do. Warriors stand and they fight and they be strong for others.
And not only that, I have to remind people, you took something from me that God gave me.
Right.
I wanted to take my dad to the Cubs game. I got a mentally handicapped sister that she passed away last year. And on her birthday, I filed my petition last year on November 14th.
Wow.
On my lawyer's birthday this year, on August 6th, I won my petition. And I commend Judge Curry for being in Peoria County called Fort Peoria, over 100-some years old. And never, ever, ever have they ever acknowledged innocence at all. So when I say this, the graves call out for retribution, and for things to change, I commend everyone that's on this line because, see, injustice, we have to be honest, it has never been recognized in the history of this world that we live in. I don't care what country you go in. So let us be thankful that we're here right now. We have an opportunity with you as a host of this radio station because it was a time in this country you didn't even have that.
Exactly.
So I understand the journey that we had to undertake, all of us. And it's going to take all of us to bring the awareness and to stop it one case at a time.
And, you know, Johnny, it sounds like you are a very, very special man. And you know, I absolutely look forward to speaking to you on Thursday evening again. And you know, it's when you talk about the family, you know, one of the things that we talk about as well is the fact that when a person is wrongfully convicted, when a person is incarcerated under false pretenses, so to speak, it affects more than just that individual, and it affects their families. And you were talking about your sister, and you say initially that your dad, they told a lie to your dad. Now, was your dad there the whole time? I mean, was he?
Well, let me share this with you. My dad was born in 1919.
Wow.
I was born in 1962. Jeez. But as a man, he did what he could.
Right,
and I love him. My mother passed away in 1963. I was 6 months old. So, and he's only had a fourth grade education. They exploited that fact. But however, he did the best he could. So I have no regrets in that area. My community did the best it could, but it was just overwhelmed by these type of tragedy. And it's something magical about that 14 that's kind of scary, because Emmett Till was 14. Let us not forget. There was many Emmett Tills, though, but he was the one that God used to change the whole civil rights structure.
Yep.
And me and Emmett Till, we were born, he was born 7/25/41. I was born 7/25/62. He was assassinated on August 28th. I was sentenced to life in prison, 50 to 100 years, on August 19th. So for some reason or another, I feel like another manner was passed to me. And 14 all around this country, children go through some horrific things.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, thanks for joining us. But hang on.
Yes.
I want to touch base with you just on the other side of this break. Again, we're going to talk to you in great length on Thursday. But when we come back from this break, you know, I want you to give us some information how people can, you know, find out more information about you and so forth. So, you know, they can look you up before Thursday's program, but stay there. We'll be right back. Hold on, go for it, Cliff.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. This is A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Cliff, Ethel, we got a good one brewing here tonight. And, you know,
awesome.
Man, hey, Johnny, you still there with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Johnny, we're going to have, we're talking to Johnny Lee Savory, who's working on getting a DNA test. We're going to dive into his story as our exoneree moment on Thursday. Spend a lot more time with Johnny. Johnny, until Thursday, how can folks find out more information about you as far as a website or a blog or something like that?
You can go to Google and put in thesavoryfiles.org. 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 Put it in Google's better search engine. And you can just Google me. You can just put my name in, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, last name Savory, S-A-V-O-R-Y. And it's a lot out there.
Yeah,
it's a lot
okay.
out there already.
Again, Johnny, thanks for joining us. You know, we were talking during the break.
Thank you all.
You know, a story like yours, man, is like much honor is due to you. The strength that you show and how, you know, the attitude that you have as far as, you know, like Cliff said, being a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Setting the stage to help others to ensure that this type of thing does not happen. So, Johnny, we're going
to
talk
to you. And I want your listeners to be clear. This is not about really like a black thing, white thing, because John Brown is one of my favorite people. And he sacrificed his whole family and stood against a nation of his people. So honorable people do not come in colors. The integrity and honor you have in you is fashioned from your character. So
wow.
I leave you all with that.
Okay, Johnny, hey, thank you very much. And we will talk to you on Thursday evening. Okay, let's go back to thanks, Johnny. Let's go back to Diane. And so, Diane, I mean, stories like this, man, it's just...
they should stay with you for the rest of your life if you have a conscience at all, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, the Innocence Project, for example, and they're not the only one working to exonerate wrongfully convicted people, but they have won more than 300 exonerations, 18 of them from death row inmates. And there's lots more than that. I live in New York, and I was reading the New York Post today. Right here, page 7, there's a man named Derek Deacon. He spent almost 25 years in prison for a murder that he did not commit.
Right.
People recanted their testimony, but he just languished in prison. And do you know that yesterday they took the handcuffs off of him and said, you can go home now, 25 years later.
Diane, the thing that we talk about this quite often.
Yeah.
You know, the media, and you know, this isn't a slam against the media, because I guess technically we could be considered the media.
You are the media on this program.
But, you know, you have these situations, and Diane, you see it. The mm-hmm. when folks spend 20, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years of their life, and the media jumps all over it. Everyone is celebrating the release of this person.
Yeah.
Everyone is celebrating the release of that person. But no one dives into, why did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, why did this person end up spending this much time in prison in the first place? And, you know, like we said, you know, you're going after, you know, we're now starting to go after prosecutors, mm-hmm. and you're hearing about judges that are sitting on the bench who were once prosecutors who wrongfully convicted people, and they knew they did it.
Yeah.
We should send those same people, those whether they're sitting on the bench or not,
absolutely,
they should spend the same amount of time in prison that they, you know, convicted someone else of, especially when they know.
Well, but how are you going to prove that, Sam? You're not going to prove that they knew that they were guilty, you know, not guilty. And you know, if someone was charged with murder, is that the same amount of time you should give to somebody who participated in a wrongful conviction? I mean, it's just such a slippery slope. Having said that, don't you think that prosecutors should have to answer or be sanctioned or something for doing this? I mean, I completely agree. I looked up Johnny Lee Savory as he was talking, and in that case in Louisiana where he was prosecuted, there is a DA there who, Doug Moreau is his name, who refuses to conduct DNA testing in cases like Johnny Savory's. And there's one, a guy named Archie Williams. He's refused for 13 years to give this guy a DNA test that might prove that prosecution was a wrongful prosecution. Now, that, there's something wrong with that. That's obstruction of justice,
in
my book.
And, you know, and the thing is, Diane, you know, and I could have some wishful thinking as far as, you know,
I hear you.
You know,
I hear you.
But the sanctions should be more than a slap on the wrist. Cliff, what was that? Where this guy, it was a judge?
A judge. Found that, you know, it was found that this judge knowingly had committed these atrocities during trial, caused this person to end up going to prison. And this judge was, fined $500. But the Supreme Court said, no.
That's not enough.
That is merely a slap on the wrist. We must go after more. So they increased that sanction, that fine, to $700.
Wow. Now, where was this judge, and what state are we talking?
We'll get you that information in
about. Olivia's great to send me links here to stuff. I'd love to read about that.
Now, when you look at that, and the thing is, they wanted the American people to jump up and shout and say, yeah, we got a judge that caused a person to go to prison. That is a slap in the face. No, that is a spit in the face, a knock in the dirt, and stomp me in my mouth until my teeth fall out. As an American citizen, to tell me that a judge knowingly causes a person to go to prison and you get sanctioned $700, that cannot even be a judge's daily salary.
Cliff, you've been hanging out with Ethel too long. Stomp me in the
Well, they should at least, you know, I have to fault the Bar Association in lots of these states, because if you're a judge, you're a lawyer first,
right.
and your association is the Bar Association. And if there's a prosecutor who is not allowing DNA tests for 13 years just because he feels like he doesn't want to, well, there's a Bar Association that you could go to. And I don't see – I know it's hard for people to police themselves. I mean, you know, there are a lot of crappy reporters, and, you know, it's one reason I don't work in network television anymore. I just couldn't take having to cover stupid things when I really wanted to cover stories that were meaningful to me.
Something that had substance.
Something with substance, and that was meant something, you know, to the country and to me personally. But I think that, you know, the bar associations need to, if they're ever going to fix the reputation of lawyers and judges and prosecutors in this country, they're going to have to start policing themselves.
Yes.
They're going to have to start saying, you know what, we recommend you for disbarment. We recommend you for suspension. We recommend you never practice law again. Something.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know,
deafening silence we hear from them now. You know,
it's too far and in between when you do hear of something like that. I mean, that industry, as far as attorneys and judges and so forth, and I don't know why I use the term industry, but that's what it seems like it turned into. It is so vast and so large that the statistics cannot be on their side that everybody is doing it exactly right. And as Cliff say, you know, we never throw the baby out with the bathwater, there are some excellent attorneys. We have excellent attorneys that are working with us in a just cause. There are excellent attorneys who have been representing the IRP6. I'm sure you have a bunch of attorneys who are worth every bit of their weight in salt that you have. But
right, and you know what? I've also sat in courtrooms and watched attorneys look directly at the jury and lie right to their faces, and I know they're lying, and they know I know they're lying, and the judge knows it too. But in the end, they're not sanctioned for lying to the jury. The Casey Anthony case is a great example. You know, her attorney got up there and said, I'm going to show you this, 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 and this, and her father sexually abused her, and this, and this. He never presented any of that kind of evidence.
That's right.
That's what he put in the jury's mind in the beginning. And to me, I kept waiting for the judge, who was the chief judge in Florida there in that district, to recommend him for sanctions, and nothing. There was nothing.
And, you know, Diane,
so, having said that, I still, you know, I'm with you, Cliff. I don't want to throw it out with the bathwater. And I think we have a great system of justice in this country. I really honestly do. But it's run by human beings, and they're fallible. From the cop on the beat to the detective in the squad room to the prosecutor to the criminal defense attorneys, you know, we are as fallible as the human beings involved in the system. So I'd hate to leave this program tonight having people say, yeah, Diane Diamond, she doesn't like the justice system. I do. I love it. That's why I fight to expose the bad parts of it.
Exactly. Right. And, Diane, we, the justice system, we're all about. It's just like you say, the fallible people that it's not their, you know, the things that they do that, you know, can say, okay, well, that was an error. That was something that they did. They didn't know. And they came back and they said, yes, I made an error. Let's get this person out of prison. It's the ones that say, I am going to go outside the realms of what I know the law is. And I'm going to ensure I get like these crazy prosecutors up in
Denver.
It's
the corrupt ones that ruin it for everybody.
And the ones that by law can say, if the more convictions you get, I'm going to give you a bonus as your boss.
I've never heard of such a thing. That's unbelievable that a district attorney would reward her assistant district attorneys for convictions. That's wow.
Right.
Yeah, I feel another column coming on here. I better write about that.
And one of the things, too, I want to play off of something you said as far as having the best judicial system, and you know, you don't want to leave the program with people saying, oh, my God, Diane Diamond doesn't, you know, she doesn't really care for the justice system. But I think it's because you do care about it, and it is because we do care about it. It is because A Just Cause cares about it that we do raise these issues, because it's the injustice. That's right. You know, it's one of those things where if we don't raise our voice, if we don't say something about it, then, you know, it's taken as if, okay, well, everyone's good with it. Everyone's cool with it. Let's continue.
Well, see, it's like we were talking about the Homeland Security Department and how they overreach, and nobody says anything about it. We just let them search us and put up cameras everywhere and facial recognition, and, you know, nobody says anything. Well, I'm not going to be one of those people who doesn't say anything. That's just not in my nature. You could ask my husband if you don't believe me. But I hope through programs like yours and maybe columns like mine, and you know, we can rile up people enough to say, hey, stop. It's got to change. Enough is enough. No more cameras in my neighborhood. Cameras with microphones that can catch what I'm saying on the sidewalk underneath this lamppost.
That's right. Hey, Diane. When we come back on the other side, we're going to get some closing words from you, and we'll be closing out the show. But if you don't mind, hang in there with us for a few more minutes. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's right, because sometimes you got to bust a bully in the mouth. That's the way I see it. But, hey, if you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years, and now she's here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, right after A Just Cause Coast to Coast with Sam and me, Cliff, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart. Cliff, I always do that. I have to do it at least once in the show.
Yeah, you've been knowing me for 20 years, but
and
you cannot remember my name. I don't know what it is.
That's why I have to look across the table at you and say, what is his name? And also Ethel. Ethel, how you doing hanging in there tonight?
I'm here. Thank you.
And on the phones, we have Diane Diamond. And let's go to the phones. Diane, we're going to go to the phones and take one of the callers. We have Yolanda on,
sure.
I believe.
Yes, Yolanda, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're doing good, doing good. You want to make a comment or have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. I heard Diane say that, you know, do you think that's fair to put the prosecutor or whoever took somebody's life away, fair to put them for that amount of time? I think it is because the fact is, some of these people knowingly do what they do, and if a strong message is not sent, they're never going to stop. So it's like it needs to have some kind of laws passed or something that they have to do some jail time because it's not fair. People's family members have died.
Mm-hmm.
They've missed birthdays, anniversary, and these are a lot of people that are innocent in prison for no reason. Some of these people do that on purpose because I'm talking from experience how they had the evidence for my sister and put her in prison for 6 months when they had the proof right there. The judge had the proof. The prosecutor had the proof. All these people had the proof right before them, and they sent her to jail anyway.
That's the kind
of stuff, if something's not done, it's not going to stop.
That's right. And Diane, Yolanda, speaking of a case that we had, LaWanna Clark on the program a couple of weeks ago, and LaWanna was wrongly convicted, and there was handwriting expertise and evidence that was available, and you mentioned that you were from Albuquerque. The handwriting expert is from Albuquerque. It's Judith Housley. She is a certified board-certified forensic expert as far as handwriting is concerned. She, without a doubt, proved that LaWanna Clark was not guilty of perjury, and we won't go into the whole case because we don't have time left in the program, but this is a case where, you know, she was convicted of perjury, yet there was evidence to prove that she did not commit that perjury. And Diane, when you mentioned the fact that you have sat in courtrooms and saw the attorney sit there and know that what was being said is a lie, in this situation, you have the defense attorney who is, buddy-buddy with the prosecutor and refused to admit the evidence. He refused to allow witnesses to take the stand. There were several things that went wrong in this case. And so, you know, you have a situation where, and I'm right there with Yolanda, and Yolanda, she is the wife of one of the IRP-6, and her husband is Gary Walker. And so Yolanda has spent, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and anniversaries and birthdays and all those days without her husband, and knowing that there's evidence there that he is innocent, and then you spend every weekend going to a prison where your husband shouldn't even be sitting. And
exactly.
So, you know, I'm right there with
you.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how frustrating it is for the families. But I'll tell you, it goes back to judicial responsibility, law enforcement's responsibilities. And you know, if there was a defense attorney who refused to put people on the witness stand as witnesses, that's just wrong. That person should be reported to the board ethics committee of the Bar Association board like yesterday, because they are supposed to do what their client wants them to do. They can counsel them, hey, I don't want to call that witness because, you know, they're a dope addict, or, you know, they can give a reason. But they have to do what the client ask them to do. Look, when things when cases don't go the way we want them to, it's easy to say the judge was crooked, the lawyers were crooked, the prosecution, the jury got bought off, there's a big conspiracy, oh my God. But remember, in our judicial system, there are rules that you have to abide by that the judge lays down, and jury instructions that you have to do when you're deciding a case. And they're not necessarily common sense. This is what I'm fighting, the fabric of this system. For example, I wrote a column recently about jurors. Why can't the jurors ask questions?
Oh, yeah.
Like in the Jody Arias case, the jurors got to write the questions down and send them to the judge, and the judge vetted them, and they got their questions answered. If we're asking a jury to sit in judgment of Jody Arias or the IRP6, they should be able to ask questions so that they fully understand what it is they're deciding.
Absolutely.
And they don't allow that in most states.
Right, and they should be allowed to, when the jury asks for, is there any more evidence, from my standpoint, and it seems, you know, viable from anybody's standpoint, as you say that a person is innocent until proven guilty, any evidence that I have, I should be able to present as a defendant. I should be able to say, I have evidence of my innocence. I want the jury to see that. And for a judge to say, no, this evidence isn't going to come in because the prosecutor doesn't want it to, for a judge to not allow an expert witness to take the stand because the prosecutor doesn't want him to, for a judge to violate a defendant's Fifth Amendment right and then not release the transcript for that, those are the type of things that we say that is not just error. That is not just, okay, that's the rules of law that says that jury has
to. And you all are proving every day that you're on the air here that complacency is not the way to go.
Exactly.
Stand up and talk about it and criticize it and demand that it change and call attention to it and shine that big white bright light on it. I agree that prosecutors, if they put somebody away for 6 months and it turns out they shouldn't have gone away for 6 months, send them away for 6 months.
That's right.
Send
that
prosecutor away. But you had said, Sam, send them away for 44 years. Well, that's like a murderer's sentence, you know. I wasn't going for, Yolanda.
But you know, Diane, the thing is that I have to say that's still my sentiment from you. And I have to look at the Angola 3 situation where you had Herman Wallace, who had spent, you know, so many years in solitary confinement, and he got out on his deathbed, and the state of Louisiana was still trying to send him back to prison. There was evidence there that the man was, you know, it was like.
Right. It's like he's innocent and he's dying.
It was like.
Let it go.
It was the enemy of the state kind of thing going on. It's like, no, this man is not going to. We don't want to allow him to die a free man. Well, you know,
we all know, as sure as we are sitting here, that the most honorable thing a person can do is to admit they're wrong and right the wrong. And I have much more respect for a prosecutor who goes to court and says, Your Honor, the state of blank respectfully requests that all charges be dropped against this person because they were wrongfully convicted by my office 42 years ago, and it's time to right this wrong. That person garners every ounce of my respect, not the DA who says, I'm not going to give him a DNA test. Forget it.
If they don't, if that DA says no, I'm going to fight it to the hilt, and it's found out that DA did something wrong, that prosecutor did something wrong, that judge did something wrong, hold them accountable. Say, hey, will you put this?
Bravo. I agree.
And the defense attorney as well. Yeah, you knew you did it. You knew they were innocent. We got to put you in there for 40
That's
years.
Right.
Got to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to say thank you to Diane Dotson for spending the evening with us. And Diane, you know, we want to, you know, pass along to your family, to your husband, that, hey, we appreciate him, you know, letting you sit and hang out with us for a couple hours.
Hey, it was either this or watch a ball game. I'd much rather do this.
one more time, hit us up with your website and your blog and where they can find articles that you're writing about.
Sure. You can find my Newsweek, thedailybeast.com, articles at thedailybeast.com, or all of my columns I post on every Monday morning at dianediamond.com. Come and visit. Leave a comment or two.
Thank you, Diane. We really appreciate it. That's Diane Diamond right here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast with us. And you can also find out information about A Just Cause at www.a-justcause.com. Also, at more information about IRP6 at freetheirp6.org. Ethel, what's that phone number for Attorney General Eric Holder?
Eric Holder is 202-514-2003 or 2005. Give him a call. Tell him investigate the case of the missing transcript in the IRP6 case.
Also, another shout out to Johnny Savory. We're going to be talking to Johnny on Thursday evening. And so join us on Thursday evening. Look on our website for the time and the dial-in and all that good stuff. Cliff,
All right, I want to say thank you to our crew, K&D Productions, with Captain Kyle, Dustin Jackson, and Ill Skillers Girl. Also, to the Just Cause Coast to Coast Media Production Support Crew, couldn't do it without you. To the truth, we know you're out there. We appreciate you. Thank you. Everybody else out there, you have a good night.
Duke Brooks and Michael Smith of Conservative Nation Media, always, as always, we appreciate the time that you give to us right here on a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. A Just Cause can be reached at 855-529-4252, 855-529-4252. Good night, America.